Well, if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Romans, Romans 1. Romans 1. And, we're still in the introductory part of Romans 1. So, and if you've missed last sermons, you can go on the website and check them out or get caught up. Romans 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 and pray, and then we'll get started. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, having been set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was designated as the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, of course, is addressing the church in Rome. He's addressing believers in Rome. He has not yet visited them, but he is going to visit them. He's writing this in AD 57 from Corinth, and he's addressing the saints there. We found out, of course, at the end of the book of Acts that he finally made it to Italy. But he is excited about preaching the gospel of God. That's the main theme, is the gospel of God, as he says in verse 1, as he says in verse 9, the gospel of his son. In verse 15, he wants to proclaim the gospel to them. It's something he's not ashamed of, the gospel of God. And of course, he gets into the theme statement in verse 16 and 17, for the gospel is the demonstration of God's righteousness, the righteousness of God, right? And in verse 1, we learn that we learn about him, Paul, as the preacher, a committed man, a changed man, a commissioned man, a consecrated man. And then we learn also about the proclamation of the gospel in verse 2. It was promised beforehand through the Holy Scriptures, and it was about his son. That's the promised person of the gospel. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ. He says, verse 3, concerning his son who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Today we're going to look at verses 5, 6, and 7, and he's going to give us, first of all, the privilege of participating in the gospel, verse 5, then the purpose at the end of verse 5 for the obedience of faith. And then the people, when he finally addresses the people, to all who are Rome, who are called in verse 6 and 7, he's going to address who they are. And this is where I'm going to spend most of my time. But first, Paul talks about that he had the privilege of preaching the gospel. Look at verse 5. Through whom, that's Jesus Christ, our Lord, verse 4, through whom we have received grace and apostleship. Paul had the privilege of being called as an apostle. And the apostles, this was the office of apostle, capital A apostle, that was used of God to establish the church, right? Now, they're part of the foundation of the church, the prophets and the apostles. The apostles, of course, wrote the scripture. The office of apostle does not exist today. You may have small A apostle, like missionaries people sent out, because that's what the word apostle means. But capital A, that died off with the apostles. These were men chosen by God, men who had seen the resurrected Jesus Christ and were selected by Christ to go out and proclaim the word. You can listen to last week's sermon to get more details about that. So he has the privilege of being called to the special office as an apostle. And he received this directly from Jesus Christ. One of the qualifications for the capital A apostle is you had to see the risen Savior. Jesus had to appear to you in the flesh and say, go and be my apostle, right? There are people today who claim to be apostles, but they're not. There are whole groups. There's a whole group called the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, which is completely unscriptural. But Paul received his apostleship from Christ. He says in Galatians 1:1 and 1:12, Galatians 1:1, he says, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And then he talks about in verse 12, Galatians 1:12, I did not receive this from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. He was called directly by Christ, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. And his assignment is primarily to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He even says that later on, Romans 11:13, he says, I am an apostle to the Gentiles, right? Peter was the apostle to the Jewish believers, or to the Jews, and he was apostle to the Gentiles. And we saw this through the book of Acts. But not only did he have the privilege of participating because he's called an apostle, but then he gets the grace, the enablement, the grace to do that. And the grace, first of all, speaks of a couple things. He says the grace and apostleship in verse 5, that grace, of course, was the unmerited favor of Christ given to Paul to do this job. And Paul will deal with this wrestling of his unworthiness of being this apostle, right? And he'll even comment on this in 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. He says this, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Then he says, yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example to those who would believe in him for life, for eternal life. Paul says, Christ has given me this grace, and his grace to me was unmerited, but his grace was an example of perfect patience. You know, sometimes I wonder if I'm trying God's patience, right? And Paul says, no, I'm the example of Christ's perfect patience, because I'm the last person that should have been called, right? I didn't line up at school and says, I want to be an apostle someday, you know? In fact, I wanted to go opposite to Christianity, yet Jesus Christ has chosen me to demonstrate how long-suffering and how patient he is. And aren't we glad for the patience of God? Aren't we glad that God is so long-suffering and so patient? And so he says, I've received this grace and apostleship, this position. He calls it the stewardship of God's grace. He was made a minister according to God's grace, according to Ephesians 3. But this grace speaks not only of the favor given by Christ to call him, but this grace also speaks of the enablement to do the office. We have received, when he's talking about we, he's talking about me, myself, and I, we. You know, he's not talking about, he's the apostle here, but he's also saying, when God called me to be an apostle, he also gave me the ability to fulfill that role as the apostle. That was the grace that was given. In fact, that's what God does. When he calls you to do something, he gives you the grace, the ability to perform it. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have to work hard and pray like crazy and prepare, but at the same time, you're dependent on the supply of God. We call it an anointing, right? That's what we call it in our terminology. But Paul calls it grace. There's this grace, this enablement. So when God calls you to something, there's an enablement that comes with that, right? Moses is called by God to be the spokesperson and to set his people free. And who does God call in Moses? The most shy man on earth and the most stuttering man and the most insecure man, the lack of confidence. He would not be lined up with all the potential leaders. We wouldn't have picked Moses to be God's spokesman. But God says, I'm choosing you. And Moses is like, I stutter. I don't know who am I to go before Pharaoh. And you know, I can barely put my words together. You know, and God says, who made your mouth? I did. And he says, I will be with you. And of course, he says, take your staff, throw it down, it's going to turn to the snake, and I'm going to demonstrate power through you, right? The least likely. Don't look at people and judge them based on what you see. Because God may say, I got somebody who's so unqualified. The last person, who's Jesus Christ calling to follow them? Fishermen, right? Tax collectors, sinners, right? He didn't go to Jerusalem Seminary and call the most educated. No, he calls Paul. But Paul, of course, you know, he's got to learn a thing or two, right? He had to learn the humility thing. But when God calls you, he enables you. I love what it says in Jeremiah 1. You know, Jeremiah is like his young kid, and God's like, I'm calling you as a prophet, Jeremiah. He's like, I'm a young man, I'm a youth, right? And I can't talk. He says, I'm going to be with you. And then he says these words. He says, I'm going to put my words in your mouth. I'm just so glad that when God calls us to minister and to serve, he supplies what is necessary. Don't lean on your strengths and giftings. If it's God, then it has to be shown that God has to supply. And that's what he does with Paul. He says, I've received grace and apostleship. That's the privilege of being that. So now he says, then he gets to the purpose of the gospel. Why am I doing this? For the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. Now, some translations have the obedience to faith, right? The obedience leading up to faith. But the obedience of faith. You can take this a couple ways. There's a couple ways to take this, and I kind of take both of them. I think Paul's first mission in preaching the gospel is to bring people to faith. And that the act of coming to Christ initially is an act of obedience, right? That when you come to Christ, it is believing in him, and that is obedience. It starts there, right? Here, of course, it's that. But then it's also faith that comes from obedience. It is faith that leads to obedience. So it's the initial coming to Christ. That's obedience because you're responding to the call of God to repent and believe in Jesus, right? That's an act of obedience. But it doesn't stop there. That continues in life. Like go down to verse 17. Look at verse 17 of Romans 1. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Watch this. From faith to faith. You see that? Or by faith for faith, or from faith. Initially, it is you come to Christ by faith, and then you continue to walk in obedience by faith.